This is Justin cutting in before today's episode to say a few words. One aspect that we share as veterans is that, unfortunately, nearly all of us have lost someone close to us. I lost my first friend while at the Naval Academy. I had months when I was in the hospital to spend time with him, to say goodbye, to grieve with friends around me as we supported each other. Years later, I lost another friend, this time suddenly, unexpectedly, in many ways feeling alone and isolated. Neither experience was easy, and in each case, the value of my memories with them, the photos, the videos, and stories, all became like lifelines, monuments to these men who meant so much to me. I've thought about this off and on for the last 10 years, about memories, stories, and legacy. With an 11-month-old son, I think about it even more. I want my son to know the stories of my parents, of my grandparents. I want him to know them and who they are in the same way that I do. And so I'm starting a new project. I don't have a website, I don't even have a name, but I do have an intention to help people capture the important stories and lessons from those they love most. I've done over 330 interviews with Beyond the Uniform, but I've never applied that same curiosity to my loved ones. And so I'm starting with my family, capturing my parents' story on audio, not for a podcast, not for the world, but for myself, for my brothers, and one day for my son. I'd love to extend this invitation to you and your family as well, to capture the stories that make them who they are, preserve them in a way that you and your family can listen to them and keep them with you. This is all a big experiment at this point, but if it excites you, go to beyonduniform.org/memories, where I'll post more information. I'm seeking feedback. I'm also seeking the first people to work with. That'll be at beyonduniform.org/memories. Thanks, and enjoy today's episode with Commit. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help members of the military community reach their peak potential in their civilian career and life. Today's episode number 337, Entrepreneurship and Self-Knowledge with Commit Bailey.
When I think about the way that, you know, we look at fiction in our culture, it's very much just as like an entertaining vehicle for us to waste time. And we view it with, we kind of denigrate it to some degree because of that. You know, it's like almost viewed as a waste of time. If you're going to go watch a movie, you're taking time away from something that you could be doing that's much better for you. But in some sense, I actually think there's nothing better that you can do for yourself than to resonate, you know, with great fiction, to pay attention to what it is that you admire, to you know, really take the time to look inward at what it is that drives you and inspires you, you know, the way that you do when you're a child, you know, where you're unerringly focused at the things that you find enjoyable and meaningful. You know, we stop doing that as we get older, as practical concerns take over. But, you know, you can turn fiction and movies and time that seems wasted into something that actually is the most valuable part of your life.
Well, there are two reasons to listen to this interview. First of all, Commit created a platform to help people discover their values and create a life of alignment with one's values. I really enjoyed his approach to this. I found it both novel and effective. Second of all, Commit's story illustrates how he has built a career that is in alignment with his purpose in life. He left Apple to pursue a career better suited to his unique aspirations, even when people thought he was crazy for doing so. This led him to living in Lisbon, starting his own company, and more. Regardless of your career pursuits, you'll benefit from hearing Commit's unique story. Now, for those of you listening to this podcast in real time, I'd encourage you to check out the events section at beyondtheuniform.org because Commit's going to be leading a webinar. I'll be co-leading it with him for Beyond the Uniform in February. Sign up. It's absolutely free. If you can't attend the actual webinar, you'll receive a video copy of it free of charge. For those of you who may be listening in the far future, perhaps as part of Space Force colonizing Mars, it's not too late to watch Commit's webinar. If you go to the resources section of our website, there's a section we're calling right now on-demand webinars. That's where we place a webinar a little while after it's aired if you want to sign up and get a copy of the video and watch it. But I encourage you to join live if you can. Special thanks to all of you who are helping us get the word out about Beyond the Uniform. The over 335 episodes just like this one, free for veterans, whole host of books, ebooks, webinars, videos, all sorts of resources. It means a lot if you help us spread the word. I want to give a shout out to screen name Mr. Organizer, who recently wrote on iTunes, "Great insight for those transitioning from military to civilian life. Great work, Justin and team." Thank you so much, and thanks to all of you who have left 5-star reviews on iTunes. It really helps us get the word out. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Kmit. Well, joining me today in Lisbon, Portugal, my guest is Kmit Bailey. Kmit, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hey, Justin. Thanks. Glad to be here.
So for listeners, Kmit is the founder of The Character Arc. He is a U.S. Air Force veteran, former Mandarin Chinese linguist and intelligence analyst, and a founding member of the new product security team at Apple in both China and the United States. He holds an MBA in international marketing from the Middlebury Institute of International Studies at Monterey, California. He is also a writer, fitness and martial arts enthusiast, and unabashed fiction buff. So maybe to start off, could you take us through when you knew you were going to leave the Air Force, what that first transition was like?
Sure. Yeah. Well, so I when I first signed up for the Air Force, I signed up under a 6-year contract, so not a 4-year as most people do. And I knew from the beginning that I kind of wanted to maybe get out when I was done with those 6 years and try something new. But you know, as the time approached, it always approaches so quick. You know, after 6 years, you think you'll be ready. But I remember in the last 2 years, I was still feeling like down to the wire as far as getting myself prepared. So it was a tough time, really scary. But I remember that the biggest challenge was figuring out what I wanted to do next. Mm. And I really had no idea. So when I left the military, I decided that I wanted to actually leave the country for a little while. I'd learned all this Mandarin as a linguist. So I decided to go check out China for a few years. And it was a great decision. But I do remember that the actual transition itself was really hard. But I will say that I was fortunate in that I set myself up in a lot of ways before I started. That really helped me out in those last 2 years.
What were some of those things that you did to help yourself in those last couple of years?
Well, I mean, some of them were, you know, the things that everyone recommends. Like I maxed out my GI Bill. I used all my tuition assistance to finish my undergraduate degree while I was still enlisted. Mm-hmm. One of the things I always recommend to people that really was a huge benefit to me was maxing out my terminal leave. Mm-hmm. You know, So when I was done, I had 2 months of, you know, paid leave to really get all my affairs in order, which was invaluable. I can't imagine what it would have been like without having that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are just some of the things.
That's great. And what did you do in China? So you go, I can only imagine, I know that most people's transition is difficult, and then mm-hmm. add on that going to a culture and language that's so opposite from what we're familiar with. What led you to China, and what sort of things did you do there?
Yeah, I'm really glad I did it. You know, at the time it was terrifying, and it did seem like an extra added level of difficulty that maybe I could have saved myself. But yeah. In the long run, it actually really worked out for me. And I think that I actually learned a lot of lessons about transitioning because of the difficulty of that extra added layer of transition. You know, so I'd learned Mandarin in the Air Force and been a linguist for years, but I hadn't actually ever been to China. And so I thought that was a huge gap. I hadn't really figured out what I wanted to do next career-wise. And so I just thought this would be an adventure. I knew one person when I went to Beijing, which is where I lived for the first 3 years I lived in China. And that was kind of it. I just showed up one day and really threw myself into figuring out what life would look like over there. And that kind of brought me to a lot of the realizations that eventually led me to develop the character arc, because I found myself not only transitioning to get there, but then once I was there, you know, trying very hard to transition between things that would be more in line with what I wanted out of my experience in China and things that would put me on a path towards what I wanted later. So yeah, it was a big, very complicated experience, but you know, I had a lot of help, and that was really useful too. So good overall.
And we'll spend the bulk of our time talking about the character arc, but what do you want listeners to know about your journey from the Air Force to actually launching this company and creating this new curriculum and this new concept?
Yeah, well, you know, it ties into the character arc quite a bit, because I think the thing that is most often neglected, and I know I neglected it when I was thinking about getting out of the military, and also talking with lots of my friends who also got out, I neglected to figure out, you know, really what it was that I was aiming at doing. And I wasn't sure exactly even how to do that. You know, I knew I wanted to get out of the military and I wanted to try to do new things, but I was kind of going away from something as opposed to towards something. Mm-hmm. And I think that if I'd added that element of like towards, you know, if I had a more goal-directed or value-based approach to transitioning out of the military, I would have had a lot more, let's say, mental peace while doing it, and possibly even more success. So I think the most important thing to remember for you know, for me, I'm constantly reminding myself about this, but also for your audience, is that there needs to be some overarching structure to the project of transitioning. You know, if you aren't transitioning within a framework that is meant to move you somewhere you want to be, you won't get there. And so if you kind of go about it haphazardly or don't make decisions based on something that's very concrete and important to you, you may find yourself struggling. And I've seen a lot of people in those situations. I've been in them myself in the past, and it's not a good place to be. So I definitely take stock of that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know for myself, when I have something that's really compelling and exciting that I'm going towards, that's pulling me towards it, that's, you know, for me so much more enjoyable than when I dislike something and it's just like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I want to get away from this.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll come back to that, but let's set the foundation. How would you explain to a listener, what is the character arc?
Well, the character arc is fundamentally a curriculum. And it's a curriculum I use in my coaching practice and in the Character Arc course, which is an online course that I've created to help people through difficult transitions. As you know, everything I just said indicates, transitioning is very hard, or you know, and it can be made even harder if you don't have some sort of a structure in place to, you know, guide you through it, to make the process somewhat approachable. You know, when it's very amorphous and blurry, then not only is it difficult, but it also is emotionally draining. And so the Character Arc curriculum tries to take some of that guesswork out by building a structure around transition. And the name comes from the fact that, you know, with any transition or with any, with any difficult project that you undertake, there's the structure that you follow is generally shaped in the same way that stories are shaped. And it follows the same arc that characters often follow in, you know, let's say the hero's journey or, you know, the beginning to end cycle of a story. And so really getting in touch with the story of what's happening when you're transitioning is the best way to successfully and powerfully transition. And so the character arc is a curriculum that kind of builds that into a usable, practical structure for people.
It's one of the things I appreciate about the work that you do is, like, as you said, we all need, I believe we all need some sort of structure, or it will be a lot more efficient and enjoyable if we have some sort of structure for any transition, for any sort of, any sort of transition. And I think the structure that you've put together is one that's very accessible to people. It's not very theoretical, but it's very easy for people to get their hands around. And could you maybe, because I want to get into some of the insights that you've seen with this, but maybe if we could talk about smart streaming, because I think that that's a vehicle that listeners will be able to find a little bit more tangible.
Yeah, sure. Well, so, you know, I talked about that structure, right? And I think that what goes along with that structure is also that understanding I talked about before, that value-based understanding. And so smart streaming is one of the tools that I use in the curriculum that helps people get in touch with their values in a very concrete, very clear way. And it uses kind of the instinct that we have. I think of it as an instinct towards resonance with fiction. You know, so let's say if you respond very strongly to a movie or something happening in a story, that emotional response has a purpose. You know, it's serving the same purpose that, let's say, admiration serves when you admire someone or you admire something. And so using that and delving into that emotion when you're feeling it in relationship to the stories that you love really can give you something very tangible and useful. It's kind of a counterintuitive approach because oftentimes, you know, people jump right into the nitty gritty of transitioning. They say, you know, what are the nuts and bolts? How do I network? How do I, you know, do a job search? How do I update my resume? All those things are necessary. But at the same time, before those things can be powerfully done, then you have to be in touch with the values that drive the entire process. And so smart streaming really digs into that value component.
And it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's almost like you're using TV or a movie or a book. You're using that to kind of gain awareness. So I watch a scene of a movie and I tear up, or I watch a scene of a movie and I feel like fucking taking over the world. I feel like going for a run, or I watch a movie and I feel like really excited. It's building that awareness of like, okay, something's happening. Something's making me feel motivated. Mm-hmm. Let's be curious. Let's use that now to like essentially start to uncover like, what is it that makes me feel motivated? What is it that makes me feel like crying? What is it that makes me feel so happy and excited? Is that right?
That's exactly right. And you know, the way you put it there is perfect, because it is about harnessing it. You know, it's not just about recognizing it, seeing it, you know, and noticing it. It's about actually using it, because, you know, that the fact that something so dramatic happens to us, you know, related in relationship to something that seemingly has nothing to do with our daily lives, is an indicator that something is happening that's more important than we're recognizing. And so if you can actually harness not only that feeling, but the motivation that comes from it, and from a deeper understanding of it, it actually helps you throughout the rest of the process. You know, it helps you keep up motivation, it helps keep you inspired, and it helps you make decisions, which is the most important part. You know, like if you understand what you value, then you can make decisions fairly easily, because one path leads you towards those values, other paths might lead you away from it. And so now you have a vector finding mechanism that's a little bit better than just guesswork. So yeah, that's right.
And one of the things that drew me to commit, for listeners, talked a couple times before this, I think that a common theme on the show, a common theme with people I interview, is the importance of self-knowledge, importance of knowing your values and knowing what drives you, which I think most listeners probably agree with. Like, they realize if they know themselves, they're going to have a better probability of finding the right job or finding the right partner or spouse. You know, it's just, I think everyone kind of can check that box and say, yes, I agree with that. But where it becomes murky is like, okay, great. How do I get to know myself? Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking like even commercials, you know, I thought of a commercial I saw years ago for Slack, the instant messaging or the kind of communication system. And they portrayed in this cheesy cartoon, this team working together. And I found it like really inspirational, this 2 minute long commercial. And, you know, what I take from what you're saying is, tugging on that thread is like, okay, what was it that was really inspirational? Like, oh, I saw people changing the world through working together. Like, you start to tug at this thread and you start to uncover, if I'm interpreting right, you start to uncover the values underneath it of like, wow, there's something maybe for me about working with people to solve a big problem, or maybe there's some piece around having an expertise and being able to work with other experts. And you just start tugging at this thread. And it all started just by being a little bit conscious of what I was feeling when I was watching a commercial.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a perfect example. You know, I use movies because people usually have a strong connection with movies. They're designed to have a strong effect on you. Everyone's got a favorite one, but even something like a commercial, you know, or a magazine article, you know, or a book, or a short story, you know, I've had experiences like, you know, smart streaming things as simple as, you know, little YouTube videos that someone's made, you know, as a skit. And, you know, some part of it tugs at me. And I'll, you know, even when I don't really respect it, you know, you're watching a boxing movie like Rocky, and, you know, there's like all these ridiculous things happening. It's inspiring, but it's also kind of silly and cheesy. But at the same time, you can't deny that emotion kind of welling up in you. And if you examine it deeper, like you just talked about, then you can pull out of it what it's trying to tell you about yourself. Because, you know, it's not really about the thing you're watching. It's about what that thing is doing to you. And that connection is all about what you value, you know, underneath everything that's, you know, on the surface. And like I said, if you can really get in touch with that, it makes the whole process easier. It makes the whole process more meaningful. And that is, I think, the biggest aspect of transitions that goes unrecognized.
I love that too, because it's like for listeners, what better challenge to say like, hey, if you can you can increase your self-knowledge by watching TV. You can, by binge-watching Netflix, you can actually make that into a personal discovery exercise. That's like, that's better than eating vegetables or going to the gym. That's
pretty accessible. Talk it all day and everything will work out for you.
This is the ideal.
Yeah, it sounds like bullshit to be honest, but that's why I think it's so powerful, is because it's so counterintuitive. But then once you recognize what it is, and once you have the experience of doing it, it seems so obvious. It's like, oh, of course this is something meaningful. Like, I feel it. You know, it's the one, you know, sometimes fiction is one of the few places where people actually do have a strong emotional reaction, a strong sense of meaning. And it's in a fictional context. So that's odd that that would happen. You know, how do we transport that same feeling into our daily lives? And I think that there's interplay between those two things. And the more we can learn how to do those, you know, to do those both at the same time and figure out how to make that transfer, the better.
That's great. So it sounds like it's kind of, yeah, that's true. It's like you probably, most people do experience more strong emotion with fiction, with stories of some form, than they do in normal life. And it sounds like as you build the awareness in interacting with fiction around those emotions, you're able to bring that more into the real world, so you can experience more of that just in everyday interactions, or maybe be more aware of that in everyday interactions when we might not have that awareness normally.
Yeah, well, you know, a movie is like a distilled version of reality. You know, they don't ever show the moments where a character has to take a bathroom break or like they have to go eat something. They just show you the parts of the movie that are the most important for you to recognize what the journey the character is taking is, you know, and you as a person are on a similar journey, but you've got all that other stuff in between, you know, so it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get caught up in the minutia, and it's easy to kind of lose the sense of inspiration that you have when you're really directed towards something valuable and meaningful. If you're not constantly, you know, paying attention to what it is that you're actually working on. And so having the tool of smart streaming in the background, you know, constantly reminding you, oh, right, I really care about, you know, generosity or humility or teamwork, you know, that's something that I am actually working towards. That's why I'm doing this. And then knowing why you're doing it really makes all the difference in your ability to, one, pursue it long enough for it to yield like the fruits that you want, but then also in just, you know, the way that you feel while you're doing it.
That's great too, because we had Peter Docker on the show to talk about, he's Simon Sinek's right-hand man, Start With Why. And there's the power in like knowing the why that drives a company or an individual, but it still leaves the challenge of uncovering that why. And so it sounds like, you know, you're alluding to the power of this to uncover someone's why, to see like, what are the things that just play on your emotions that really get you fired up and feeling your best. And then starting to be the archaeologist excavating to see like, what are the bones underneath this that are driving that? Yeah. I want to ask about some of the experiences that you've seen people have, but I just want to make space first. Is there anything else you want people to know about smart streaming or how it works or how they could apply this?
Well, you know, I have a free guide to smart streaming on my website that I kind of just give away because I think it's such a valuable tool. And I think it's also just really interesting for me to get feedback from people on how it works in their lives. Like, you know, what you just said you wanted to ask about. It's really great to see stories of people who pick it up because it seems like a fun thing they can do in their free time, you know, while they're watching movies, which they're going to be doing anyway in the age of Netflix. And then realizing that, oh, wow, this is like something that I can apply immediately that adds enjoyment to the fiction that I love and also is able to give me something useful that I can take and use in my daily life to improve my situation or my perspective. So I think that the use of it is something that I like to do all the time. You know, it's the tool I use in my curriculum. And so it's kind of something I prescribe, but it's also something that I'm constantly doing. And it really is just a fun way to get in touch with those values and to keep reminding yourself why I'm doing what I'm doing, you know? And if you're on the right path, you know, if you are doing what you love and you're moving towards doing more of that, then all it does is kind of give you that little boost that you need to say, that's right. This is why this feels good. This is why I should keep doing this.
And between your work as a coach, between your work with, you've worked with so many people through this curriculum, and then you've also done this for yourself. I'm just curious if you could surface a couple stories of things that you've seen people discover through this or insights that they've come to, just so listeners get a little bit more concrete sense of some of the values that people might discover or kind of some realizations they have?
Yeah, sure. Well, so I'll give you a specific example of one of my earlier clients. His name was Noah. He was doing the course and he was working at Uber at the time and really not enjoying it. And, you know, he's having a real rough time trying to figure out what to do next. And one of the problems people are always running into is I'm in a stable position. You know, I'm somewhere safe. I make good money. From the outside looking in, it looks like everything's hunky dory, but I'm not satisfied. I want something more for myself. He was in that position. And so the movie he chose for himself, I allow people to choose their movies because I want to make sure that they're not distracted by the process of smart streaming with a new story at the same time. It's a little bit too much to do both at once. He chose Big Fish, which I don't know if you've ever seen, but it's kind of a very big emotional story. And it kind of plays on a lot of themes of fantasy and, you know, intergenerational connection. And he really loved that movie. And so I walked him through the process of smart streaming, you know, during the course. And the value that kept coming out to him, you know, every time he picked a scene, right? So he would first pick a scene in the movie and say, okay, this scene spoke to me. I had an emotional reaction. And I have a questionnaire that would ask him several questions about, you know, what was happening in that moment? You know, what was the character doing? You know, what was the character saying? What was implied through their actions and what was being said in that scene? And the thing that kept coming out to him was determination. And it turned out that one of the things that he'd constantly been doing in the last few years at his job was, you know, starting projects and then putting them down, starting projects, putting them down, you know, starting something really strong and then losing interest or losing faith in himself and then not following through. And this determination theme kept really pointing itself out to him very strongly. And so we worked together to help him build some determination practices into his, you know, his transition. He was planning to leave Uber. And so we said, okay, well, how are some ways that you can build determination into that process? And it was extraordinarily successful for him. It was really, really interesting watching him go from, you know, really wavering. I could see him between the different options he had and being uncertain to just by recognizing that he valued determination, right? And being called towards it, right? He was admiring something. He was drawn to emulate it. Once he did that, he transformed his life in just a few weeks. You know, he left his job. He started a small company doing video production and was like picking up contracts left and right just because, you know, every time he had a moment of doubt, a moment of insecurity, he had this tool to rely on, this thing that said, oh, right, the reason I haven't been successful and something that I spontaneously respect is determination. I have to follow this course. And that worked really well for him. So that's one example that I like to bring up because he was a really powerful example of the power of smart streaming, I think.
I love that. So first of all, when you and I worked together, the movie I chose too was Big Fish. That's pretty funny. Right. And I think we have that recorded. I'll add that to the show notes so people can, if they want to see what this looks like in process. But it's interesting because when you say that, it's almost like when we're watching, let's say, a movie and we get fired up, there's something in us that there's often some aspirational element. It's like, I want that. This guy wanted the determination in his life. And I love how through these questions and through your work with him, you're guiding him to see like where that is missing in his life and to see these dropped projects and then bringing that to like, look, you want to be a person of determination. How can you approach this career transition with determination? And it seems like now he's got that as one of many tools in his tool belt of saying like, hey, this is something that's important. Am I being acting in a determined way, the way that I aspire to be? And it's also great because it, you know, when you and I talked, this came across for me too. It's you're building this muscle. It's not like this is a one and done. Like he can continue to do this and maybe he watches another movie or reads another book and he uncovers another tool. But the more of these that you have, the more of these values you've identified, these more of these traits that you've identified, I'm imagining the easier it is to navigate complex situations because you know which things you stand for.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I mean, I actually have forgotten that we had talked about Big Fish. I guess sometimes that's why I chose that example. But yeah, I mean, that's a perfect movie for smart streaming and what he got out of it. Another thing that I'd like to add on to that is not only was what he got out of it really useful to him, but it also is different than what other people would get out of that same movie, you know? And so when we were talking, you know, what you were pulling out of it may not have been exactly what he was getting. And that's because what speaks to you in the movie, you know, even if it is generally inspiring to most people, is specifically about what they need or what it is that's in their life the most relevant. And you were great to bring up the fact that that can change over time, right? And also that you have more than one value. And so if you watch another movie and, you know, something else pops out, that's another value you've discovered that you can build into kind of this avatar. I like to think of it. I like to think of it as a character. You know, you're building a character. That character has an arc. You know, where does the story begin right now? And where does it end? Hopefully somewhere better. And if you want to describe that arc, you have to embody those ideals, those values that you find through this exploration. And so smart streaming lets you do that, you know, over time as you grow and develop. The things that speak to you in the movies will be different than they are, you know, in the past. So I like watching that evolution as well with myself. Sometimes I'll start noticing something new, you know. So a few years ago, I was watching something and I started noticing that the theme of humility was really sticking out to me. Something about humility, about being able to, you know, be humble and not self-aggrandize, and also to be able to help others, because it shows some vulnerability to be able to be humble and be able to help people. That was really speaking to me. And I realized I needed to build more of that into what I was doing. And so I changed my life. I changed my career based on these decisions, and it's done nothing but good for me.
Mm. Is so a couple of things stand out. I like this sense. I notice in myself, I can sometimes fall into this role of being a victim. And I know that I imagine some people in a transition, they feel a little bit more passive. They feel like a victim or things are happening around them. One of the things I liked about what you said is it's reshaping us as the hero on this quest. We are the protagonist in this story, and then choosing the actions, like you said, that will get us from where we're at to a better outcome. So I like that just subtle mindset shift of just even viewing ourselves as a character who has this arc that we're going through. Mm-hmm. And then I love that example with humility. I think that's really great. And I think it's awesome too, because you're showing that the awareness and the knowledge is one piece, and then taking action and having the courage to follow through is its own. And it sounds like that led you to make, you know, large career shifts and changes in your life that I can't imagine were easy, but at least with this as a navigating point, you are able to at least say, like, this is what I'm heading towards, or why I'm making these changes.
Yeah. Well, for sure. Specifically, you know, when I was leaving Apple, I was in the same situation as Noah, who I was talking about earlier. You know, it was very difficult giving up that kind of job security. You know, I'd worked pretty hard to get to that point in my career. But I couldn't deny the fact that I wasn't satisfied with what I was getting out of that job. And I could look down the line. I could play, you know, I could play out the story and say, where does this character end up in 20 years if I stay on this path? You know, and where that was not somewhere I necessarily wanted to be, despite the fact that maybe financially it would be very lucrative, or it might actually, you know, make me a little more stable in certain areas of my life. But I realized that it's more important that I'm in alignment with these values that I find for myself than to have that kind of security and stability at the expense of, you know, all the meaning, I think, that is inherent in, like, doing something that you love in life. Mm. And so, yeah, I definitely think that having this understanding is invaluable. Like, it doesn't make, I realized the first time when I think I was in grad school, was the first time where I kind of got an inkling of what smart streaming could be. I was watching a movie called Beasts of the Southern Wild, which is fantastic. And I was really floundering at the time, and I wasn't really sure where I was going. I was getting my MBA, but I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with it. I had just left China. I was experiencing, like, reverse culture shock, and all these things were happening. And I saw this main character in the story keep displaying this perseverance, you know, this perseverance, this fortitude. And I was like, oh, okay, you know what? There's something about that. And the idea started percolating in my head about smart streaming and about using stories as something more than just entertainment.
That's awesome. I want to talk a little bit about your journey as an entrepreneur, and also your journey continuing to live abroad. What else, though, do you want people to know about the character arc, the curriculum, anything related to that before we talk a little bit more about entrepreneurship?
We talked quite a bit about smart streaming, and I don't want to bang on that drum too much, but I would like to also say that smart streaming is just one component of the character arc course and also of the curriculum that I run my coaching clients through. It's very useful. I mean, it's unbelievably useful, but it also in a vacuum isn't the thing that really can get you over the hump in a difficult transition. You know, it also needs the entire structure that is the foundation of it. And so as much as I like smart streaming as a technique and as a tool, I think it works best when you have a collaborative aspect to go with it, you know, someone to actually work with you to figure out what to do about the values you've uncovered. And so the collaboration element of making successful transitions, of undertaking any difficult enterprise really can't be overstated. So I encourage people to always work together if they can to do things that are difficult.
And I would second that. I think that the type of work that Kamit's describing, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to do in isolation. Listeners who have listened for a while know that I work with an executive coach. Very often it's a sounding board. There's very often things that I say that I don't even realize that I'm saying, and they're able to point that out, or that he's able to ask the right question. And that's what Kamit is doing in his own work, is going along this journey with you and asking you questions. And if you watch the session that he and I did, you'll see that, like, it's pulling out, teasing out the answers and helping you. And I can't imagine for myself with the work I did with Kamit, or in the other work that I do, I can't imagine doing that on my own. I think it's would be impossible for me. And so I think it is, maybe even for listeners, an element of getting out of your comfort zone is working with someone who can hold you accountable, who can ask you questions, who can maybe point out blind spots or things that you might not want to know. And I think that's a very, very critical component of this work or any sort of work where you're trying to uncover your values and the things that drive you.
Yeah, 100% agree.
What advice do you have for listeners who aspire to start their own company based on your own experience and your own journey so far?
I would say, you know, I have a friend who told me that he had a framework for beginning any big project, and this works for transitions as well, or for starting something new also. And I think it really fits here. It's basically the rules that you would follow when you begin stretching. And the first rule is, don't start until you're ready. The second rule is, don't go too hard too fast. And the third rule is, don't stop until it feels good. And I think that's exactly right about starting a new business. The first step is really critical, is not to begin until you're really committed to it. I see so many people who I work with who in the past have had the experience of starting something and then stopping it. You know, they decide they want to leave their job. They start building kind of their side hustle, and then that never goes anywhere. And they do that for years, you know, several different projects over and over, and they get demoralized and they feel like they're never going to make it. And it makes them have a lower starting point the next time they go out to try something new. And so I'd say for anyone who's interested in being an entrepreneur, it's really important to set yourself up from the beginning and recognize that it's going to be very hard, and that's okay, you know. You'll find yourself at a low point and realize, you know, that's what happens to characters who undertake an adventure. You know, they have to hit a low point before they can gain the benefits of the hard work that they put in. And so I think that's the biggest, if I had to, you know, distill everything down to one piece of advice, that would be it.
I think that's so spot on. In my consulting work, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, and I often see this common thread where they anticipate things to be easier than they are. They have seen on the news and they've heard stories of people who launch a product and it takes off and they're set. And what you're describing, that arc and that journey, is much more true to my own experience and the experience of people I've worked with, which is lots of obstacles and unforeseen challenges and setbacks. And so I think this applies to a career transition as well. But when you go in expecting things to be easy and quick, and you're prepared, you know, for a one-day journey, and it turns into a 4-year journey, you need to make sure you've got enough supplies and food and willpower to endure past that, not just this simple jaunt. And so I think that's such great advice that you're giving entrepreneurs.
Yeah, well, I wish I could have given myself that advice, you know, when I was starting out. I've been kind of a serial entrepreneur. I started at a parkour program when I was in China. I had my earlier business, a consulting PR business I told you about before, and now my business, the Character Arc. And it took me a really long time to find my footing with new projects for exactly that reason. You know, I wasn't sure exactly what I was doing from the get-go and was too easily discouraged. But, you know, again, finding your values really helps with that, because then when you start a project, you're committed to it in more ways than one. You know, it's not just a financial vehicle. It's something that you find meaningful and is intrinsically rewarding. And so aligning all those things together really helps you stay on that path until you can actually make it.
I love that too. And I a lot of times we'll see people where they're like, yes, my passion is bringing women's fit footwear into the world, which is probably true for a small percentage of people. But sometimes, at least for me, it rings as hollow. It's like, really? And you're one of the few where what you're doing, it does seem very, very aligned with who you are. Like, I hope listeners can hear that, how this connects deeply to what has helped you and what excites you about helping others. And my just personal take for aspiring entrepreneurs is having something like that that's deeply meaningful, that can be enough to carry you through the troughs and the deserts and the really challenging times. And I think that's not that has to be true, but it's exciting for me when I see people where it is true. And I also wanted to touch on, I forgot to do this when we were talking about the Character Arc. You also run a podcast that's very much in line with all of this. And could you just share with listeners a little bit more about what that is?
Sure. Yeah. Well, so the podcast is called the Character Arc Podcast. It actually started out a few years ago with where it had a different name. And it was myself and one of my best friends from the Air Force, actually, who is still a good friend of mine. And we have always been, you know, huge movie nerds, and we just love talking about movies and fiction in general. And we wanted to talk about stories, but we're also deeply interested in personal development. And so we would kind of talk about things from the intersection of those two interests. You know, what are stories that are good? What makes a good story? What makes a bad story? And also, what does that have to say about, you know, the human condition, about our lives, and how do we use that? So about a year ago, I kind of rebranded the podcast after my friend unfortunately had to stop doing it as the Character Arc Podcast. And now it's just me. And I basically do long form, well, fairly short form. They're about 15 to 20 minute episodes on different topics, themes that you would see in fiction. So I did one recently on the leap of faith. I did one earlier on villains. I did one on the mythological crisis, which is, I think, another name for the crisis of meaning that people seem to be facing when they find their work dissatisfying and are not sure what to do moving forward. It's a little esoteric because I really like to dive deep on these topics of fiction and really explore, you know, what's at the bottom of the archetypes that, you know, form fiction. What does it mean about us that we feel drawn to tell each other these stories, and that we can't not listen to these stories, you know, and watch them constantly. The fact that people watch, you know, 4 hours of Netflix a day says that there's something really important going on behind the scenes of our own psyches from a psychological standpoint that we're not all always in touch with. And so the podcast tries to make that connection for people.
That's great. What about you have lived abroad for many years and now have chosen to live in Lisbon. What is that? What advice do you have for people about considering? Because most people I have on the show, it doesn't even enter into the consideration set. It's just kind of like, well, I'm going to go to San Francisco, New York, you know, a handful of cities. Mm-hmm. Going outside of that's a big leap, and then going internationally is a bigger leap. Any thoughts on a plug for that, or just things for people to consider when thinking about that?
Yeah, well, this actually is another piece of advice that I would give, you know, if to my younger self, if I could, and one that I actually ended up taking, but without really recognizing it early on, was when you're leaving, especially when you're transitioning, you know, let's say out of the military, one of the things that you have a very hard time doing is getting perspective on what it is you can do, you know, if you're a dental tech, then you know the first thing you do is say, okay, well, I have to go be a dental tech somewhere else outside of the military, and you start looking for dental tech jobs. And when I left the military, I very deliberately didn't go become a government contractor, which was the obvious route for a lot of people who are in Intel. I decided I wanted to do something very different, and I thought maybe that would create opportunities for me, and it did. And for me, I think that there's an adventure in to be had in stepping outside of your comfort zone, you know, in putting yourself in a position where you are in the minority, you know, be that in, you know, terms of how you look or, you know, your mindset or the things that you're interested in. I think it's useful to step outside of the area, the arenas where you've already established your competence to try to grow your competence. And it's very hard to do, but I think it's extremely rewarding. Obviously, I have lots of expats who live around me in the various countries I've lived in, but not one of them has ever said anything other than that living abroad has been one of the most gratifying things they've done with their lives. I've never heard of anybody who lives in the States who used to live abroad who regrets it. But I also think that, you know, it's really useful to get perspective on your own culture, and that you really can't do that until you leave it. You know, it gives you a bird's eye view of what's happening in your society when you step into a different society and see the different kind of calculus that goes on and the considerations that people have there. It really does give you a whole different worldview. And I think that more of that is a good thing, especially in this day and age, where I think we're getting a little bit too zeroed in and navel-gazy inside of our own societies.
I think that's a fantastic sales pitch for that. And I think one thing that occurred to me while you were talking is many times guests I've had on the show have built up career capital in the military. And usually the place to cash in that career capital is a very adjacent industry like government contracting. Your story strikes me as different because learning Mandarin and having that experience, as you pointed out with your work at Apple, like it is a very monetizable skill in virtually any civilian sector. It's a very high demand skill set. And what I love about your story is just because you had the ability to make money doing something, that doesn't mean that you should do that. And I think for me, it really underscores sacrifice might not be the right word, but the sacrifice that you've made in leaving security and leaving a high-paying job and very lucrative industry to strike off on your own to something that is more meaningful, but maybe not immediately as monetizable as what you were doing. And I think that to me gives me more respect for the courage that you've had to follow your own arc, because, you know, just having been out of the Navy for 10 years now, I'm like, man, you know, Mandarin, every country is trying to expand in China. Like, to me, the dollar signs start going in that direction. And I really appreciate how you've honored like your own path of realizing that you wanted to do something different. And I hope listeners gain courage from that you don't have to do what you have been doing. You can strike off in a completely new direction.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's a nice compliment. I appreciate it. And I also think, you know, that there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking your dental tech skills and going to be a dental tech somewhere else. I think that that's a perfectly valid way to do things as well. You know, there's no right answers, but I also think that anytime you're making decisions out of fear, that you're going to end up making bad decisions. And a lot of times the easy route seems like the easy route because it avoids a lot of the chaos of having to figure out a whole new arena to operate in. But the problem is that it has long-term consequences. You know, it may give short-term stability, but in the long term, will it get you where you want to go? And so really keeping an eye always on that question, you know, where is it that I'm trying to go, helps me, you know, in those moments when I am in crisis, because everyone gets into crisis. And sometimes, you know, I sit back and I'm like, wow, did I really give that up? You know, I've thought that so many times through all the different transitions I've had over, you know, the course of my life. But I love my life, and where I've ended up has become a really great and meaningful place for me. And if I hadn't had, you know, that courage early on and had the people around me to support me in that, I wouldn't have been able to do it. So yeah, I definitely encourage people to not take the easy path unless it's the path that they're really interested in, you know. Take the path that's going to lead you where you want to go.
That's great. Well, for listeners in the show notes, I'll have links to Kmit's podcast, to the all the things that we've discussed, as well as he does have this 4-5 week course that's self-paced. He's giving a discount for listeners and for veterans. So we'll have more information about that there. But I always like to leave room at the end. You know, we've covered a lot of ground. You've answered all my questions. I'm sure there's things we didn't talk about that you wanted to share, or just some final words that you'd like to leave with listeners. So I'll leave you some space here at the end to talk about whatever else you'd like to talk about before we wrap up.
Okay. Wow. So much freedom. I don't know what to do with it. I'm going to talk about movies, because I think that, you know, it's my passion, you know, and it led me to what I do now, which is, you know, someplace I never thought I could have ended up by, you know, from where I began, you know, from all the things, all the experiences I've had in my life, I never could have guessed that they would have led me to where I am now. But I think that following the thread of fiction has always been the reason that I've been able to hang on, at least to get to this point. And, you know, when I think about the way that, you know, we look at fiction in our culture, it's very much just as like an entertaining vehicle for us to waste time. And we view it we kind of denigrate it to some degree because of that. You know, it's like almost viewed as a waste of time. If you're going to go watch a movie, you're taking time away from something that you could be doing that's much better for you. But in some sense, I actually think there's nothing better that you can do for yourself than to resonate, you know, with great fiction, to pay attention to what it is that you admire, to, you know, really take the time to look inward at what it is that drives you and inspires you, you know, the way that you do when you're a child, you know, where you're unerringly focused at the things that you find enjoyable and meaningful. You know, we stop doing that as we get older, as practical concerns take over. But, you know, you can turn fiction and movies and time that seems wasted into something that actually is the most valuable part of your life if you really take the time to start zeroing in on it. So I encourage everybody to do that. And I also would love to hear people's feedback about some of the podcast episodes that I've done on movies in general, because one of my favorite things to do, aside from, you know, all the personal development stuff and all the coaching, is just talk about movies and the movie industry. And it really is an obsession of mine. So really grateful for this opportunity to talk to you and your audience. And honestly, it's been a pleasure. So thanks again for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And one other thing I'll say is I'm appreciating your passion for movies and character arc and all of these things. And I'm just wanting to name too that it's not, at least my perspective, it's not an accident that you're passionate about this. It's not like you fell into this. I just want to really point this out for listeners. There's not a lot of people that I interview in these 300 plus interviews that are like truly like just incredibly passionate about what they're doing and have really found something in alignment with their purpose in life. I would put you in that category. And it's not like, if you listen to this story, it's not like you left the Air Force and this was here. It's not like you knew from high school that you wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. This is a career path that you earned through continuous listening to yourself, listening to your intuition and your values and what drives you. And I just really want to point this out for listeners. Like, if you aspire to that, the things that Kmit's describing are some of the tools to do that digging. And it's not instantaneous. It's not overnight. It's the continuous application of curiosity about what motivates you and what drives you and what fulfills you. And as Kmit pointed out, it changes over time. And so I really benefited from our working together in that session. I hope that listeners will consider downloading the free PDF or checking out the course. And if you don't do that, do something, please, to kind of uncover your values. There's a million ways to do it, but I'm happy to have had you on the show to highlight this, because I think it is something that would resonate with listeners, especially because we all crave some sort of structure. So I wanted to have one last long-winded thing before we wrap up, but thank you for your time on all of this.
Yeah, thanks very much, Justin. I really appreciate it.
Surface. Beyond the Uniform is written and produced by me, Justin Siri, with help from our Chief of Staff, Steve Bain, and our editor, Kathleen Dillon. We are an all-volunteer organization and would greatly appreciate your help in any of the following ways. First, spread the word. Beyond the Uniform has over 330 podcast episodes and 15 on-demand webinars, all offered for free. Help us spread the word on social media, at military bases, or whatever gets this resource in front of more men and women who need it. Positive reviews on iTunes go a long way towards this as well. Second, sponsorship. Beyond the Uniform relies on sponsorship to keep us going. There is so much more we'd like to do, but we don't have nearly the resources to do so. If you know of a company that would like to advertise in any way with Beyond the Uniform, please send them to beyondtheuniform.org. Third, donations. If you're in a financial position to donate, you can find more information on the support section of beyondtheuniform.org. At our website, beyondtheuniform.org, you'll also find 330-plus episodes categorized by industry, functional role, and more. You'll find a link for live events, typically 4 per month. You'll also find both free and for-purchase books that take a deeper dive on topics related to career growth. Thank you for your support as we aim to help members of the military and their families thrive in their post-military career and life.